Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 19th chapter. And let us study for a few moments the Word of the Lord. As I read the 19th chapter and came to grips with the subject here, I thought, okay, well, maybe this isn't the best scripture to use at a period of time when the church family is not sitting before me. And so I was thinking heavily about this, and the Lord reminded me of the benefit of preaching expositorily through His Word. And that is that you come to the subjects and you deal with them as they rise. So this morning we're talking about divorce. And as I said, I was kind of struggling and troubling a bit with doing this at this time because I like to be able to see in the people's faces when you're talking about something like this. But then last night I heard on a news program that there is a 50% increase in those seeking divorce right now. That is individuals calling lawyers. So when we do stay at home and separate ourselves from the world, we actually have to talk to one another or not. And sometimes the problems that already exist rise to a different level. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him, and they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? What we have here, if you remember, we've been talking about the greatest in the kingdom of God being as a little child, and he goes from there calling us little ones, those who believe in him, and extending out his love and his protection and his desire and our relationships and all of these things. And now he's moving off of that. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee. And we know that we are now approaching, both in Matthew and in our own calendar, the Passion Week and the things that will unfold at the cross. It seems that what Jesus did when he left Galilee, he headed south, went across Jordan into the land called Perea, and ministered there in Perea, coming all the way south as far as Jerusalem. In other words, Jerusalem would be directly west from him. Then we will see as this begins to unfold, as Passion Week unfolds, he comes across the River Jordan, goes to Bethany, raises Lazarus from the dead, and then moves on toward Jerusalem. So we actually have him in this area called Perea, and he is ministering. And some Pharisees come to him and, as always, trying to test him, bring him this question. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Now, they knew the Mosaic Law. And the Mosaic Law says in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 to 4, if a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and gives it to her and sends her from his house, and after she leaves his house, she becomes a wife of another man, and her second husband dislikes her and writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her, and sends her from his house, or if he dies, then her first husband, who divorced her, is not allowed to marry her again after she has been defiled. That would be detestable in the eyes of the Lord. Do not bring sin upon the land of the Lord your God in giving you as an inheritance. So these are the instructions that are actually given in the law by Moses. If a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and sends her from his house. These Pharisees are challenging Jesus concerning this truth. And basically, there are two words that are the sticking point. One is that becomes displeasing to him, and the other is that he finds something indecent in her. With both of these things, they were, well rehearsed by the rabbis as to what this actually meant. Some of the things it says, putting away the wife because she had a bad name. Putting away her due to sterility. In other words, she couldn't have any children. The ability of a man to retract his writ of divorce if he desired to do so. They talked about Joseph's action if he had not been stopped by the angel. Remember, Joseph was going to put Mary away. Even though they were espoused to be married, he was going to divorce her and put her away because he thought that she had been unfaithful until the angel of the Lord stopped him. There was the writing of a writ of a divorce even to death, or if the man does not return for a prescribed amount of time. So that was to keep her from inheriting or getting any of his goods. All of these things were dealt with by the rabbis, expanding upon the word. So many things had been written about it that there was confusion that existed. And that was part of the reason why that these men were asking this question. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? And I would add also that as the Roman government prevailed, that women also then in that era were given the right to divorce their husbands. That is to say that divorce has been around for a long, long time. And considering the question of divorce, even in our day, I believe that we should follow the course that Jesus has set down here. Now, I want you to realize, first and foremost, that there's no judgment here. I am not preaching this in judgment of anyone because of past actions. I am not trying to make a point to any of you that may be in the midst of a divorce situation. But rather, we are looking at the next passage in the Word of God and standing upon the truths that He gives us for the days that we are living. I would add one other thing, and that is that those of you who have come through divorce, may the enemy not bring condemnation. That is not the purpose. But rather, that those who are in the midst of marriage, even those who are not yet married, that we would understand the strength of the covenant that the Lord has caused us to make, and that it would be, even as we proclaim at these altars in marriage, till death us do part. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask right now for your incredible help. I pray that your Spirit would settle in upon us, no matter where everybody is at and what is happening in their life, but your Spirit would minister over us today. That as we study this passage of Scripture, that we would gain things that would help us as we walk our journey. I pray that there would be encouragement here, that there would be joy and goodness as we share together your word. Bless us, Holy Spirit, with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look at verse number 4, we're going to pick up right there. This passage is going to frame God's perfect will for your life and marriage. But also, he will share his provision for the circumstances that in a fallen world go past his perfect plan. So beginning with this pure intention of God from the very beginning, Jesus says this. He says, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And he said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Now, again, see, we want to say, okay, I'm part of the church and we are under grace. We are not under the law. I would remind you of Paul's words in Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by the observance of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. So God has set these things down so that we could understand what he desires and what he doesn't desire. We're not under the law in regard to righteousness, or to put it another way, in regard to being justified by God by keeping the law. However, we can understand what God desires and what he doesn't desire in our lives. Here Jesus sets down a perfect will and plan from the Creator. This is a plan for man and woman. This is a plan for their relationship. And it is a plan for the longevity of the relationship. God is interested in our marriages. At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. The words there are not misinterpreted in any way. That is the masculine word, arson. It means, it speaks of gender, the masculine human being. The generic term for man and woman is anthropos. It says female or thelos, feminine, gender, used in contrast to the male gender. So he is very specific here to say God created a man, God created a woman, and it was his desire that the two of them would unite together and become one flesh. For this reason, he says, because God made two genders, because, if I can put it in this way, God put a certain plumbing in each one, and because made the plumbing of the male to fit with the plumbing of the female. Now, I realize that in our day, things have filtered out and there's different things that are taking place. But let's go back to the way that God created all of this in the beginning. He made them male and female, united them together, and the two become one flesh. The plan here that he sets down is that a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And the two will become one flesh. Now here, there's an incredible mystery. The Apostle Paul likens this relationship to Christ and his church, where when we become a believer, that we are united with Christ, we become one with him. His spirit, his same spirit that raises him from the dead, dwells in us. It is an overtaking, if you will, of our heart and life. If our salvation is true, then we are united with Christ. This then gives explanation as to why God is so concerned about our marriages. Because they are a type that exists from the beginning of time to our day of a relationship with him. He does not take that covenant lightly. I've stood with couples for many, many years and made this proclamation. Do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others? Give him your pledge till death us do part. And young folks and older ones at different times have stood there before me and they've made this proclamation, only later to decide that they wanted to undo it. For one thing, we need to recognize that we are making this covenant before the Lord, and that he holds us to our covenants even as he holds himself to covenants. And then in an incredible way, the two individuals, the two separate people, a male and a female, that have come before the Lord and made this covenant, as they are united together, they become one flesh. And the purpose, if you will, the fulfillment, if you will, is the production of children or a seed, which in God's desire, according to Malachi chapter 2, is that that seed would grow up and follow him. Pastor Steve spent a great deal of time on Wednesday evenings talking about Malachi and this passage. And it's very powerful for us in Malachi chapter 2, because he is showing us the reason or the purpose for this seed being, or these two individuals being united together in one flesh and producing a seed that will follow after God. That's God's intention. That's God's intention for all of us. Then he makes this statement. He says, therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. I mean, there's incredible clarity there. A man and a woman united together, become one flesh. What God has joined together, let man not separate. But again, we must understand this is God's perfect will for man and woman and for their marriage. And Jesus wanted that to be incredibly clear as he's standing there with these Pharisees. But then he doesn't leave it there, because he picks up in verse number 7. Why then, they ask, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? So in other words, if it was God's design from the very beginning that a man and a woman would be united together and that they would never separate, what God has joined together, let man not separate. If that was God's intention, then why did he speak to Moses about a man giving his wife a writ of divorcement? That question presented to Jesus. Why did God make this provision? If his plan was that man and woman were to be united and they were never to separate. Jesus picks it up in verse number 8. Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. Now here's where we start getting into some difficulties. The fact was that in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death. That's pretty serious. Why do you need a divorce if both of them are going to be put to death? So even in this provision that God made, he was allowing, if you will, he was stepping out on the reality that man was fallen and this world was fallen. And he was making a provision, though his perfect will and desire was that a man and a woman be united together and the two become one flesh, and what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That is God's desire, church. But he also makes a provision, because he realizes that this is a fallen world and that he is ministering his love and mercy to fallen man and woman. He said, it is because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law. In other words, this law came to you because you needed it. I take great hope in that today. The fact that, yes, God has a perfect will, a perfect plan, complete holiness, if you will, separation unto him. But at the same time, he realizes that we live in a fallen world. And as living in this fallen world, in those places where our hearts become hard, And oh my goodness, in our relationships, it is so easy for our hearts to become hard. You know what that means? That means that I'm no longer willing to bend. I'm no longer willing at a heart level to change. I can tell you folks, both from personal experience and from those that I have watched for a lifetime who have long marriages, there's a lot of bending and a lot of changing that has to occur. And at any point where either the man or the woman lock down and they say, I'm not going to change, this is it, I've changed enough. Hey, I can tell you that you're going to go through, if you stay together, you are going to go through transitions where you do not look like, you do not act like, you do not sound like, your decisions change. You know, I love Sharon. I love her as much today, more than what I did when I married her 48 years ago. But she's a different person. And I'm sure that she would tell you that I am a different person. Well, I know I'm 70 pounds heavier than what I was when she married me. So that alone means something different. She married a little guy, little skinny guy, and I was taller. And I've gotten shorter and wider. But she continues to change also. Changes in physical appearance, changes in attitude, changes that I would not necessarily go, oh, would you change this? No. The changes come as life comes and circumstance. We've had 3 children. We have grandchildren. Everything changes. Her attitude toward me changes as others are brought into the relationship. I say this because you need to recognize that when you give your life and make the covenant an altar, it is a beginning point that is actually saying, I will accept the changes that you make in your life. I will accept you for who you are and what you are. Well, that's not to say that you always enjoy those things. As I mentioned last Sunday, you know, there's many a time we practice social distancing right in our house. And it is for the sake of our marriage that why continue to fight over something that we're never going to agree on? It's better off that we head to our separate corners and find rest. But too many, young and old, are saying, no, I will not change. I will not bend. What they're doing, oh my goodness, it is just too big. It is too... Now, with that said, if one or the other, a man or the woman, go out and bring somebody else into this relationship, even as Jesus said, that's an ending point. I would also say to you that if a mate is choosing to beat on you or to abuse you verbally or physically, that can be an ending point. But that is between you and the Lord in that particular situation. And by His provision of grace, He does a lot divorce. But what is His plan? What is His desire? His desire is that one man and one woman would be married for a lifetime. The two would become one flesh. And what God has joined together, let no one separate. All too often, we want to find God's provision for our hard hearts or our unwillingness to change. We want God to put His stamp of approval over onto our life decision. Just know this, that God wants you to meld and to mold and to change and to do what is necessary to have healthy relationship. I can also tell you that the perfect will of God will always be the best path to take. Often His provisional will is necessary, but it will not be as powerful and as peaceful to your life and to your future as following His perfect plan. The effect of divorce is amplified by Jesus in this radical statement. Again, I tell you the truth. I tell you that if anyone divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman, commits adultery. As I cited you from Leviticus, both should be killed if that's the point. What is He doing? He is giving us an extreme. He is laying out before us the anathema or the curse that God says comes down upon us when we live from the hardness of our life or follow the ways of the world. If you remember Matthew chapter 5, we studied some time ago, it says, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's like, oh my goodness, how is this even possible in the world that we live in? But what his point is that we need to recognize that these are the roots. This is the root. When you and I move from the perfect plan of God, even to his provisional plan, that all of a sudden struggle is added in. Here's the statement of the Lord teaches that there are serious consequences to divorce. Here are just a few. Number one, the bond of flesh that God promised will be broken. Number two, the covenant promises made will be broken. Number three, the natural product of the union, children, will suffer. Listen to statistics. 42 to 45% of marriages end in divorce. In the United States alone, last year, 787,251 U.S. divorces. That's 100 per hour. 60% of second marriages end in divorce. 73% of third marriages end in divorce. And children of a divorce are more likely to divorce themselves when they get married. Why does God hate divorce, as Malachi says? It is because of the pain. It is because of the heartache. It is because of the struggle that comes, not just to that couple, but also to those generations that will follow them. Understand this morning that our Lord is not being harsh. He's not being overly difficult in bringing this about, but rather he is not wanting to see us suffer or struggle. If we had time this morning, we could call in countless testimonies from our own church family of individuals who have gone through divorce and how they have tried to manage their lives. And then when they added another mate onto that who had also been divorced, and bringing those families together and trying to blend them and all of the complications that are involved. Hear me this morning. What God is trying to spare us. Yes, it may be difficult to have a long-term marriage. Yes, there are changes that you have to adapt to. Maybe things that you think are absolutely impossible, but with the help of the Lord are possible. It's worth doing this God's way. And you say, well, what if your mate is not a believer? Well, the Apostle Paul addresses that in the 6th and 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I'm not going to walk down there this morning in regard to second marriages and all of this. But just simply to say that when the union is broken, a man and a woman, one flesh, when it is broken, Jesus is telling us that there is sorrow, there is struggle, there are consequences that come. There's often financial loss, and I can tell you, all too often there is spiritual loss. And as pastor, that grieves me when I see a young believer distance themselves from the Lord so that they can either go through the divorce or so that they can find another mate. I know my heart is broken. I know that the heart of God is broken because quite often, many, many times, as they are out looking for another mate, they forget the reality that if they marry an unbeliever, that they are adding another layer of struggle and difficulty to their lives. Oh, church, doing this life God's way works. Every time we lean upon his provisions that he makes for the flesh, for the hardness of our heart, yes, they are there. Yes, he has grace. Yes, he has mercy. Thank you, praise you, Lord, for your mercy. But hear me this morning, to stand in the covenant that we make as a man and a woman will be worth more than you can even imagine. Now he takes this one step farther, and I'll quickly go there, and that is in verse number 10. The disciples came to him and they said, if this is the situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to marry. So their answer to the struggle here or to the realities, I suppose they had seen enough marriages. that they realized that there was struggle. Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way, there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others, and there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven." I can't spend a great deal of time on this, but he is picking this up, and the Apostle Paul deals with it in the 7th chapter of Corinthians. He says, look, if you need to separate, you're better off to stay single. Why? Well, because the Lord knew that more second marriages ended in divorce than first marriages. And you may not like this, but this is true. If there's a divorce that takes place, 50%, sometimes more, maybe your fault. Ouch. I wish I could see you so I could see your reactions to that. But unfortunately, that's true. We can always see the other person's fault. We can always see what they have done or what they are doing that brings it about. But what about your own problems, your own things that made that marriage to be difficult? Often we don't deal with those, and those then are taken into a second marriage and can many times be the cause of a second marriage failing as well, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth. Let me conclude with this. When considering divorce, begin with the pure intention of God from the beginning. One man, one woman for life. If divorce is necessary, understand the real cause and effect. God, in his permissive will, allows for divorce. However, remember, he grants this because of the hardness of our hearts, and there are consequences that he would desire for us to never experience. And then he says remaining single after divorce is best. But as Paul says, it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now I realize in just these few moments that really we can't dig that deep into this. But let me finish with this statement. God loves you. And he's made a provision for you. Whatever decisions you've made in your past, he's ready to forgive if we will confess our sin. He's ready to redeem what is lost. He can make all things new. And he's ready when you and I are ready to help us live our lives to the fullest. I like what Jesus finished with in verse number 12. He says, the one who can accept this should accept it. Yes. That goes for this whole word. If you're willing to accept this, you should accept it. I want to pray this morning as our musicians come and we conclude this service. I want to pray for your marriages, for all of our marriages. Someone said to me on the phone the other day, Pastor, life is hard. And I concur. We live in a sinful world. And if we know the Lord Jesus, we are kingdom people trying to live in a sinful world. And it's so hard to not be influenced by the world and all of their decisions. See, there's a natural tendency that when anything becomes popular among a lot of people that the church goes, oh, well, I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be the exception. Well, I can tell you right now, if you're part of the kingdom of God, you are part of the exception. God has a different plan for those who belong to him. Now, as I said in the beginning, if you have already come through divorce, then lean in upon the provision of the Lord and let him give you the strength to walk out your situation. He will. He loves you. But I'll tell you something this morning. If you are in that first marriage and it's tough, and you find yourself entertaining, how can I get out of this? How can I get free from this? I encourage you to go back to what Jesus said. What is his plan? Now here, if he gives us this plan, he gives us the ability to walk it out. If we will lean into him, if we will call upon him. Now you say, oh boy, if the Lord would just change her, or if the Lord would just change him, then everything would be okay. No. You work on yourself. And you say, Lord, change me. Give me a heart that will accept my mate in the way that they are and the way that they will change with the things that they say, the things that they do. Give me a heart because I belong to you and we are going to hold to your perfect will for our marriage. And I believe that God will give you that strength, that wisdom, even that joy that you're looking for. You see, even this very day, he can renew your love and commitment to one another if you will allow him.